Hi guys.
Hello, Susan.
How you doing, Harry? You been busy?
Oh, always.
I know.
I've got about another 2 years worth of work before I get that property where I want it.
Oh. Oh. High expectations, huh?
Yeah. Well, right now we're getting to the point where we need to make product for our business, and we can't do it because we don't have a space to do it. We're closed.
Oh, wow. So you're adding on a shop then?
Yeah, we're building a shop right now, and I got sheetrockers coming tomorrow, so.
Oh, nice.
All right. All right, call this meeting of the Sheridan Fire District to order. We will dispense with the Pledge of Allegiance this evening since we're virtual. Roll call, Ray Bottenberg.
Here.
Pete.
Hang on, I had to unmute it. I'm here.
Tammy.
Here.
And myself, Harry Cooley. Approval of the minutes, right?
We'll note that Carol Harlan has an excused absence due to sickness.
Thanks, Les. Approval of the minutes, regular meeting, January 11th, 2022.
I emailed those out. Did everyone have an opportunity to look at them? If not, I can project them.
I have them.
Yep.
Do I have a motion?
I move to approve the meeting minutes for January 22nd as presented.
January 11th.
Was that a second?
Second. Oh. Pick whichever one.
Pick one. Okay, so I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. All right, financial report, budgets versus actual detail. U.S. Bank old business. Do a financial report first. Any questions on the financial report?
I emailed those out. If you need a hard copy, let me know. We'll get them to you as well. Some people have been having trouble with their email.
Any questions?
The U.S. Bank on the end, I'll bring you up to speed. I finally got in touch with the best customer service person at U.S. Bank, and we were able to get Susan fully engaged with her own login and those kind of things. We've been working on this. Thanks to Tammy and Carol for getting this worked out, and Susan for the effort. So it should be a little bit easier on her, just to let everyone know.
Okay. Anything on the financial report? Hearing nothing, do I have a motion to approve?
I move we accept the financial report as it was read.
Okay. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Ray seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Seismic update. Where are we at, guys?
Okay, so seismic is moving along well. We still are waiting on some product. They're ahead of schedule with the roof. Hoping to get some people in on Friday or Monday. They've been requesting them earlier to start putting the membrane on the roof where we've got some nice weather. So we'll see if that happens. We're trying to get some payments out to them. We've sent the first round of payments, catching up and working on that next round. The sprinkler system end price is going to be $174,000. The $150,000 was for the sprinkler system itself. The addition is going to be drywall, additional electrical, that kind of stuff that needs to be fixed and repaired once they do all the sprinkler system. It's still going to come out of the grant. It's going to come out of our contingency. At this point, we still have a projected about $400,000 in construction that's still available if something else were to pop up. So everything's looking good. Scheduled for our final punch list the first week or so of May. And we'll hope as we move forward that maybe we can get that punch list done in April, maybe, so that we can get back in there the first part of May. So that's where we are so far.
Okay. Any questions for Larry? Hearing none. Levy update.
So we met as a group, went over the projections, a bunch of different options, and the seismic group or the levy group voted and agreed to increase the current levy by 53 cents. Right now we're at $1.46. That would get us enough additional funds to pay for three additional full-time staffing and give us some breathing room to invest in some PPE and equipment that's much needed. So tonight, what I need is a board, basically an approval and agreeance that we proceed with that number. We've got the forms in hand. We'll get those filled out and submitted. We have to the 25th, but I'd like to get it done by the end of this week so that we can get on that ballot.
Okay. Discussion.
So since I sat on the committee with them, I'll weigh in. We discussed every scenario that we could think of. We talked about dollars and cents. We realized things are expensive right now and nobody wants to pay more taxes. But at the end of the day, it came down to the fact that all of us felt strongly enough that we have to staff that second medic, that we need to ask for the amount that we're asking for so that we can staff that rig. To us, it doesn't seem like a viable option not to have that staffed, considering how agencies around us are struggling and we're just short of medics and people and times are tough. So that's how we came at the dollar amount that we're going to ask for. And I just don't see another option. And if this fails, I guess we go back to the drawing board and go back to the public and we see what they do want to support and start over again and see what we can come up with. But we all felt that it was important that we start at this point for a number of factors. But the biggest one was staffing that second medic is a huge deal. When our first medic is out, it leaves such a gap for our people, and we just aren't comfortable with it. So that's how we got to where we are at and what we're going to ask for.
Okay. So just to be clear, we'll be looking at $1.99 total.
$1.99, correct.
Anyone else? We don't have to agree with Pete that, you know, getting that second medic out, especially right now, you know, it's, I think that's important because there's a lot of time when we're relying on those around us and they're struggling too. So I really see the need to do that. And so I guess my question to Peter, the committee is, so is there some kind of estimate about how long that will keep us in good condition?
So what that'll do is get us the 5 years, obviously, and every year the tax return would increase a little bit. And so we would probably end up with 6 years out of that in that 5-year levy if we weren't able to do that again. But we're also reaching out and trying to do some safer grants for staffing and those type of things. And if that comes through, then, you know, those 3 years that the safer would get us, we would basically take the levy money because it is for staffing mainly. And we would put that away in the personnel. And, you know, we would be looking at potentially getting, you know, 5 additional years. So 8 years of staffing out of a 5-year levy.
And so just a clarification, though, if you were to do that, that's only staffing that second out medic 12 hours a day. Is there any consideration about using, if we were able to get those safer grants, put that forward with that levy money and get 2 medics 24/7?
The levy would get us 2 medics 24/7.
Okay, that's, I was thinking we were still talking about 12-hour medic.
So no, we're right now talking we're trying to do that with part-timers okay. Right now, but the levy would get us additional 3 full-time employees, which would get us 2 medics 24/7.
Okay, thank you.
Could I clarify that the levy is 58 cents? Is that what you said?
53 in addition to what we currently are at $1.46. So the total would be, or $1.43. Yes, well, $1.46. So it would be a total of $1.99.
Yeah, but our current levy is 35 cents. So we're going to go 35 plus 58.
Plus 53.
53. Okay. Thank you. 86. 88.
Any other discussion?
Big thanks.
I believe we need a motion to move forward and get this on file so that we can be ready for a May election. So do I have a motion?
Harry, could I ask one more question first?
Sure, Tammy.
I just was wondering if the levy committee has put together any sort of a plan for educating the community and how we're going to get this information out, because we have such a short time span before this election to educate.
Yes, the 2 firefighters that really spearheaded the West Valley campaign are on board with this. They've already got all the materials. It wouldn't take hardly any time to switch over a few things and make it ours personal. We can get signs out there. Basically, we're ready to start moving forward with this, and they are chomping at the bit. They've got everything out there, and we'll start going to community events, school board meetings, city hall meetings. We're already on the books for the March City Hall meeting. So we're going to get out there and start educating the public right away.
Okay. Anyone else? Do I have a motion?
So moved.
All right. So it's a dollar amount clear. So it's 50, is it 50?
It's 88 cents.
88 cents total.
Yes.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
So the motion needs to actually be stated as to what you're making a motion for. Okay. Sorry.
Doggone it.
I know. Sorry.
So I move to pursue the 88 cent levy on the May election.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
Would you confirm the second on that too, please? Since we changed it?
Yes, second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion. Any opposed? Motion carries. Staffing.
So everyone's aware. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
So everyone's aware, we did receive a letter of resignation today with a two-week notice for firefighter paramedic Daniel Homer. He's going to be missed. We anticipated, based on, we answered some questions on his behalf to McMinnville. I've asked him to do an exit interview, and I'd like for someone from the board to sit in if you feel comfortable enough to do so. And what I've asked him to do is be honest about what we can do to improve, or if there's anything that he knows that might have, you know, might help us to be better. So I wanted you guys to be aware of that. I want to be open and transparent about that. So whomever would like to be on it, that's fine. You can talk amongst yourselves. I just need one person so it doesn't overwhelm them. But as for staffing, we do have an individual firefighter paramedic that is in the pipeline, meaning he is ready in emergency status to go to the part-time, temporary part-time person until we can validate the position. Now, with that being said, we are redoing our civil service committee, which currently consists of Susan, Amber, and Mike Kissel from Polk One. Obviously, Susan does not live in our district. I'm trying to talk her into selling her house and moving over here, but she hasn't acquiesced yet. So we're going to have to, we have two applications. One is Frank Sheridan, which I think once we get together and visit as an organization, it'll be an easy in for this person, not to replace Susan, but work, you know, in her stead. So we're going to work on that. So we'll have a solid civil service committee. And the reason I say that is because we need to give a test to establish a list that we can pull our individuals from. We're going to work on that sooner rather than later. But right now we have the ability to fill this position based on emergency status. So everyone's aware that we're actively recruiting individuals to apply from the outside. Right now, Chief Wolders has done a wonderful job on recruiting and retaining and getting engaged our part-time staff people. Now, mostly all of them are firefighter EMTs. We have a couple of part-time people that are interested, that are paramedic only. We're working with the union right now to write a provisional amendment or addendum to that contract to help us out. They've been really, really wonderful with that work. So that's the status on where we're heading with staffing. Where our model is to continue the three-person staffing per shift. As we are able, it's two paramedics and one EMT. But with this blip on the radar, we're going to have a couple of shifts where we have two EMTs and one paramedic. Obviously, our ambulances are going to continue to run ALS. And as we get the part-time persons on board, we're putting through a training process where they have to ride a minimum of two shifts and meet the standards that we have in riding to be able to be released out to work on their own. So we're in the process of doing that. We hope to supplement our staffing with those standards. As for there, we're still looking at that, as Chief Wolder had said earlier, that second ambulance will be a 12-hour rig. We're in negotiations with one of our full-time employees, long-term career employees, about going to a 12-hour staffing model because they want to, and also because we need them for ordering of supplies. We have a ton of EMS training classes that need to be done every year, interactions with the public and those kind of things, which would help us move forward a little bit more smoothly with this transition. So keep that on your radar. We'll keep you up to date on the status of that. And when that happens, that'll be our training module. That 12-hour ambulance will be available for transfers and all these other sundries that we need them to be available for. Again, the staffing is three persons. We want it to be four, but right now our budget does not, it supports it, but for long-term goals, we want to be very careful, obviously, depending on the levy. And we do have the backup plan, which I'll talk about grants here in a little bit, for SAFER grant. Does anyone have any questions about staffing?
Less.
Yes.
I don't have any questions on staffing, but civil service, you do need to live in the district. I'm on, live in South Polk, so you would need to get people who live in the district.
Yes, I looked at the civil service guidelines, and you would be, unfortunately, you would be the one we replace. And right now the examiner can be someone from the outside, but I'd want to replace exactly. him with someone from the inside. So no, I appreciate yep. that.
Perfect. We do have one other application other than Frank, and I can't remember who it is, but.
Is it Amber for renewal?
Nope. Frank and somebody else from the city, the current city. I don't know. They currently work at City Hall.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Okay.
If we have no other questions about staffing, I do have an addendum I need to add to old business. Is everyone okay if I move forward? So one of the things, now it's old business because we've discussed it before, and it's quasi new business, so we're going to put it right in between the two. And that is, I've talked to Susan a couple of times about her contract for pay. So I wanted the board to be aware that we're going to submit something to the board at the end of this month, probably, if not sooner, with a contract for pay so we can make sure she's reimbursed for her time. I wanted to be publicly known that without Susan, we would not be as successful as we are. And I believe that she is the foundation that has helped us move forward. And I wanted her to know and everyone on the board to know that we appreciate everything that she's doing and has done, but I can't let her do it for free anymore. So, that's one of the things that I would like for everyone to be aware of, and it's the right thing to do, okay? I would like to hear from the board if the board sees it differently. I don't believe you do because I've had an opportunity to talk to almost everyone individually, but I would entertain any thoughts on this. Everybody's good.
We're good.
I'm good with it. I would just like to say that I do thank Susan for everything she's done, but we need to get this done and rectified sooner rather than later. So yes, I want to get moving on it.
Yes, ma'am. And that's my goal. Susan and I are going to meet this week. But again, that's one of those things. I apologize. I talked to Board Director Carol today, and she reminded me, and it has slipped past me, but we're going to get that taken care of. There's going to be a couple other things that I'll bring to your attention in the near future. One of those is, after talking to the attorney and someone in the CPA industry, they've let us know that potentially there is, with someone volunteering in the business office, there's a potential for maybe a claim in the future. Not yet, but we want to meet this proactively, and I'm going to discuss this with the board right now, and I don't expect a decision because it's not on the agenda, but I will be reaching out very soon. We're going to go down to one person in the office, and that person in the office has to be either contractual or employed, and that's what the attorney and a professional CPA has told us. Does anyone have any questions about that? Because I can go into more detail if you need me to. But right now, I want you to know that is absolutely on our radar, and we're going to do the right thing. And this is specifically about Amber. She has done a lot of good work for us, and she is a rock. But unfortunately, I don't have the budget to pay a second person in there just yet. But also, we have to be very careful with our current situation and staffing. And I wanted the board to be aware of that. We owe her a lot, and with all due respect and everything we can, I'm going to sit down with her. I've talked briefly with her about some of this, but I want to go ahead and let her know that her tenure has been greatly appreciated, but we're going to move forward. Does anyone have any questions about that?
No, but Susan, thanks for all your hard work.
Thank you.
So, you know, I totally agree with Amy. Yes, we need to be taking care of Susan. She started working on this long before we actually took over. And we really appreciate all that she's done to help us get through this. But we need to take care of this for sure.
Thank you.
So with that being said, I have.
Can I interject one thing?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Before you move on.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify what you were saying for the board. I think you were losing the words as it was presented when we talked with Eileen, the attorney, about it. This is actually a labor law violation.
Oh, thank you.
And that is what she expressed to us with the situation with Amber, and we need to take care of that.
That is exactly right. I appreciate you correcting me on that. Obviously I was struggling for the right words at the time, but that is absolutely what Eileen has said. And obviously our attorney has our best interest in mind. And of course, you know, as we said, we're going to do the right thing by Amber and thank her greatly, but I need her really more than anything on the Civil Service Committee. And she does a bang up job there. And we're going to do the right thing and we're going to support her. And we're going to make sure she knows how much she's appreciated.
Okay. All right. Anything else on staffing, Wes?
Well, to move forward, I have put together several documents. They're in the draft phase, and I'll get them out to you as soon as I get them cleaned up more. And it's specifically job descriptions for office admin, which is Susan's position. I asked her to stay on 10 years, but she said she can't. More than likely, it'll be ending sooner than I like, but I wanted the board to know that we will be aggressively advertising for her position in the near future. I just want to make sure that this person that comes on is, first of all, it's not going to be easy to replace Susan, but they need to be extremely good at QuickBooks and other items like that, because we need this desperately. Because I'm in the middle of it trying to learn it as well, and I just don't have the time to designate to that QuickBooks thing. But anyway, I just wanted the board to be aware that we are moving forward. I'm going to send it out to a couple of our board members to review business wise, and any suggestions that you may see or need to add, please do. So, and if you have any questions, let me know.
Okay. Thank you, Les. Okay, let's move on to new business. New ambulances in service.
Yay. So, yay. Thanks to the staff and the crew. And I have to say thank you to OHA for holding our license for 3 months. And then waiting until we insisted that we need to put it in service without a sticker. And they said, oh, you don't need to have that sticker. They mailed it on January 18th. We still don't have it. So I pushed, and she said, you're listed on the internet as being in service. So we are in service. So it officially went into service Saturday, and it's already made several runs. The crews are happy on how it's working. Just be aware, board directors, that it will be put into a rotation. It's not going to be first out all the time, meaning that we have two other ambulances that still are very viable, and they need to be put into service at the same time. We have two fully stocked OHA approved ambulances, and our third ambulance is we're working on some of the specifics, and I'll give you an example. We don't have a monitor, so we're going to have to get a monitor for that third ambulance to be ready to go at a moment's notice. Right now, we're only ASA plan says we only have 1 to 2 ambulances, so we're covered. This third ambulance is reserve status, but our intentions are to have this third ambulance ready the same as the other two. So if there's a large incident, it's response capable. And as I was saying earlier, we're going to put it in rotation specifically because the wear and tear that each one of these ambulances have, we want to try to make the length of service go out obviously further, for as far as we can. So if you see it around, I haven't updated the website. Donna has sent me some pictures with all the lights and everything going, and it's really good. So I'm going to update the website as soon as I get an opportunity. But thank you to the board and Tammy specifically. She had the foresight to put the monies aside from GMT. We appreciate that, because that's forward thinking that we all we can justify with the community, and that's what we're going to continue. You'll notice that we will be getting some additional GMT monies in the future. I don't have those amounts yet, but I'm going to come to the board and ask the same thing. We put these monies aside for specifics that we'll need later on, but I'm going to need your guidance on that. But I do have some plans that I'll run past you.
Okay, great. Okay, grants submitted.
So one of the jobs that I really enjoy doing is writing grants. Kind of funny, but not. Right now we have three that we've submitted. One of them is an AFG grant. Going through the agency, and as you're probably well aware, our weak point is our bunker gear. We're very limited on short supply. So what is considered a micro grant, which is under $50,000. I believe it was for 39 even, but it was for 10 sets of bunker gear. That would bring us up to meet the needs currently that we have. And I'm going to continue to add in the budget 5 sets every year until we're completely ahead and we're in reserve status. So you'll see that. We've also submitted a SAFER grant for personnel. These personnel are our backup plan or supplemental plan, however you want to look at it, for staffing for the second ambulance. Now, please remember that we will not know the status of this until late August, September, October, somewhere in there. They're at their leisure when they get out this information, so don't expect it too soon. We also, being a rural organization, meeting the standards, we were able to put in also for a recruitment retention coordinator, which coincides with the SAFER because, excuse me, both the SAFER and the recruitment retention coordinator are free. They're 100% covered for 3 years. Now, our goal, obviously, is to maintain these positions and move forward. Chief Wooldridge and I have already started a plan. We're putting it together to facilitate that moving forward and extending each one of these positions beyond the 3-year lifespan, obviously. The board is going to be heavily involved, and we're also going to have a subcommittee for establishing funds and other means. I've already started with Susan. We visited with a separate organizations about ambulance billing to increase revenue, other revenue streams that are available out there that are going to assist us in supporting the staffing model. I don't want to give you too much information yet because I'm still waiting on some of the strong pieces of it and the numbers. And when I get that, I'm going to present it to the board to make sure everyone is on the same page and we'll see the possibilities. Oh, I'm sorry. And also, Board Director Carol had sent me over to Chief Wooldridge and myself a rural EMS education grant. So many grants, I'm trying to get it right. Rural education grant, in which would allow us to do is to possibly take our volunteers from to EMR status, emergency medical responder, up as far as we want them to go, whether it's EMT, EMT advanced, or paramedic. And these monies are specifically allocated for rural organizations. Now, realize that one of the components is dealing with alcohol and drug abuse, but with the latest updates from OHA, that is one of the modules that they've added in. So we easily fit within the bounds of this grant, but this is outside the AFG purview, meaning it's in a different grant portal. It goes from like 10 pages to like 50 pages. So I'm only been able to get 5 pages in on this, forgive me, but we have until the 18th to get this one finished. So I'm gonna go after it next couple of days and see if I can't get it submitted on time. But that will give us an opportunity to educate. So that's all for grants, unless someone has questions.
Well, Les, we really appreciate that this is your joy to be doing these grants, because boy, it certainly helps the district. So we really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Anything about grants from the board? Okay, let's move on to reimbursements.
So reimbursements, this is a very large, daunting, I'm going to use that word, task that we've taken head on. The board has asked myself and staff to review some of the monies and the potential monies that are owed to us before, during, and after the split of the merger. Board Director Tammy Height has helped us, Susan and I and Larry, go through this process, and it is way more information than I'll be able to project to you right now. But to be quasi-specific, there is several pages of Excel spreadsheet over 40-40-20 split that we are looking at that clearly to us, we're still trying to tie invoices in or not on some of these items. And when I say two pages front and back, so Susan has worked her fingers to the bone on trying to find all these. We have not been able to find a majority of them, meaning that we don't know if they've been reimbursed and we don't see the monies deposited anywhere. So that leads us to believe that they have not been reimbursed. And that's the basics ones. Now we get into the more advanced stuff. And so everyone's aware, we did engage our attorney, Eileen, and she has received the information on a majority, if not all of these 40-40-20 splits. And also the is the board aware of the reimbursements that we've talked about a couple of times, specifically from payroll and buyouts and those kind of things? Because that's one of the points of contention that Tammy put together a really good spreadsheet on the potentials for. We have overpaid and have not received what we believe would be the right amounts in return. We have presented this information to Eileen, and she has gone through it and she continues to go through it. Excuse me. She has asked me to craft a letter, one more attempt at diplomacy. And I have crafted that letter. She's asked me to rewrite it just because it's really specific about certain things. And I did send it out to you. I don't know if you had an opportunity to read it or not. I'd be happy to discuss it offline individually. If you see anything you would like to see me add or take off there, I would appreciate any input. The main thing is that Eileen has asked us to continue with the diplomacy until we have no other choice. Does that make sense? And then from there, we're going to have a real serious discussion about what is the value of expenditures for the taxpayers on attempting to retrieve these monies. Specifically, we have, and I'm just going to say 50-50 shot based on the conversation I've had with Eileen, and some things we won't have a shot at all. I'll be honest with you. She hasn't really alluded to what or how. But she said the best avenue right now moving forward is to send another letter on our letterhead, and then she can have a discussion with us about probably an executive session where to go from there. And specifically, we're asking for all monies that we cannot account for. And I wanted the board to be aware that we are actively working on this daily. And it is an enormous chore. And I hope everyone understands that it is taking a while to get even to the point where we are.
Okay. Any questions?
Tammy, would you like to add anything to that?
I think you covered it pretty well, Chief. I just will say we had that meeting with Eileen the other day, and what were we, about 2 hours into that? And
275 she just sat and shook her.
Yeah, well. So it's really frustrating. I have to say, what makes logical sense to me apparently doesn't make logical sense in the legal world. And so we're going to have to really, really have some deep discussion about that. I do think that what we came to the conclusion of is we have to do a forensic audit. If we want any chance of getting this money back, we have to do it. The one thing I did bring up to Eileen and when we were having the meeting and she did agree with us is the fact that from being on the board for past years and from the inception of this and working through it, I honestly can say I believe that our reimbursements for 40-40-20 were accurate up into the departure of Judy. So with that being said, I think it makes sense for us as a board, regardless of getting the money back, not getting money back, reimbursements, whatever. I think we need to have clean, clear starting place where we're bringing new financial people in. So one thing that I asked about was maybe going back and only doing the forensic audit for the last quarter of 2020, which would be October through December. Judy left in January, and then all 12 months of 2021. I think that will reduce the cost of the forensic audit. It'll tell us what we want to know about our 40-40-20 splits, and it will give us a clean slate from here on forward. So just something to keep in the back of your mind. That's my take on it anyway.
Thank you, Tammy. And also to segue from what she said, I have, and Susan has, reached out to multiple CPAs. I reached out to SEAO through their business model, and they sent us over several choices, and one of them was the previous chief's CPA, which we probably wouldn't use based on the fact that, you know, they've been part of this from the beginning. I have reached out to, and Susan has, to Acuity, because they're going to do our 3-year books. Susan can, I don't remember exactly what the email said. I just briefed through it, but it's one of those that, well, Susan, will you answer that for us? Can you tell us what Acuity said?
Yeah, they said that they do not do forensic audits, but they would definitely work with whoever, but they gave us a couple names. So.
And from the couple of names, I did call and leave messages, and I sent emails. So I'm hoping to get something back on that sooner rather than later. And whatever I receive, I'll present it to the board so we can move forward a little bit more rapidly with this. I would like for the board to let me know that when I speak to them, I am going to do what Tammy suggested, if the board is okay with that. If I can get a motion on that, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Anybody like to make a motion?
I'll make the motion that we give the chief authorization to try to find a CPA firm to start the forensic audit, and we run the forensic audit from October 1 of 2020 through 12/31 of 2021.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, so Ray seconds. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you for that clarification. All right, so next segue is I sent out a letter at the board's request to you to review, and it is the billing for our work on the IGA. Let me pull this up so you can see it, just to refresh your memory. Can everyone see? I'm going to have to zoom in a little bit better, probably. So this is the original invoice that we've paid to Eileen. Can everyone see that okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
And you'll see that everything in here is quoted and listed as IGA work. The only thing that I have changed with this and with her approval is down on the bottom, I don't know if you could see my cursor or not, but for professional services rendered, this was the balance that we've paid plus the 165. What I've added is 12 hours of prep time and work based on attendance of these meetings, and also prep time and work for 12 hours at my rate, which was $588.48. So the total would be $29,33.48. I believe I sent it out to you. Please forgive me if I didn't. I thought I had. I would like for you to take a look at this and see if this meets the board's intention of what West Valley has said they would take care of.
I believe it does, Les. I did see that, read it when you sent it out, and it looks good to me. So I think that's something we need to move forward with.
And just so everyone's clear, that 12 hours is not arbitrary. I can prove those 12 hours. I believe there's a lot more time invested by Susan and by Larry. And I didn't have the model to, and now I know, to charge back for hours worked on a particular subject. I'm going to start keeping these sheets when I'm working on outsourcing and those kind of things, so that way it's provable. But these obviously are meetings and then conversations and et cetera that I have over text and email and those kind of things. Again, I apologize. I could have done a better job of capturing these times, but I figured in the spirit of this, this would give us a little bit of reimbursement. Again, through Eileen, she said that she supports what we're doing and absolutely agrees with, and that they have publicly recorded that they would reimburse us for this particular subject matter, which is the amount that we paid, and then the additional $588. She did make sure to tell me to let you know that that $588.48 is part of the contractual IGA when we're talking about it. She's not 100% sure that they're on the hook for it, but it's the right thing to do, she said. And if they're going to follow through with what they said, it shouldn't be an issue.
Okay. Any other discussion?
I think we get it to them and we go from there. I mean, the bottom line is I don't want to hold up getting reimbursed for that $588. I think we get what we get at this point, but yes, they should pay it. And, you know, if they want to fight that, then I guess then it becomes a public matter that the public needs to know just what's going on.
Yeah, I'm going to submit this. If you were not aware, Mike Algers is now the acting fire chief for West Valley. I would like to send this out certified mail to not only him, but the remainder of the board, and also, and if I understand correctly, the city of Wilhelmina is taking care of their books. So I think we should spread this as far as we can to make sure everyone's aware. And we can also pull a recording from that meeting night to where they said that they would pay it if we get any deflection of it. I just want to make sure you guys are okay with me sending this amount.
Well, I would make a motion that we forward this invoice to the West Valley Fire District and the City of Wilhelmina at the amount of $29,33.48. Do we have a second?
I second it.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
So we'll get this out. I'll work with Susan the next day or two. We'll get this out before the end of the week, just to make sure. And I'll let you know what the status is as soon as I know something. Thank you.
Okay.
Could I glanced down, was taking notes. Who did the second?
I did. Pete.
Pete. Okay, Pete. Thank you.
Okay. Austin Smith Memorial update.
So this is one of those things that is in any firefighter's life, it's kind of an emotional, I hate to use the word rite of passage, but if you've been in the fire service long enough, and you as board members, you've been in the business long enough to where you have, and we have dealt with tragedy within our own board. This is one of these subjects that is, you can't put into words what it means to firefighters and to people involved with the fire service, let alone the community. So what we know factual is that firefighter Austin Smith, a member of St. Paul Volunteer Fire Department, was involved in active firefighting at a large barn fire that went to a third alarm assignment. He was tragically killed during the incident. The information about how it happened and everything is still not completely out yet. All we know is that there was an explosion and that unfortunately he lost his battle to live shortly after, I believe the next day, he was flown from the scene. And one of the things that I want everyone to be aware of is family's family, whether you've ever met these people or not. And Pete knows the fire chief over there, and this is my sixth one that I've had to to be involved with. And it's one of those things where it's an honor and a privilege to be involved and be asked. We sent a crew over in a fire engine to cover their station with Deputy Chief Woldridge. They call him Jerry on TV. I don't know if you guys know that. Deputy Chief Woldridge, firefighter paramedics, Philip Riggs, EMT firefighter, Daniel Cummings, and part-time firefighter Woldridge. And we had the honor of covering their station while they brought their brother home from the morgue. And excuse me. What we know is that we've signed up for what in the fire service we call it casket watch. And Thursday morning, myself and firefighter paramedic Payne are going to stand watch at the casket from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. to honor it. Just so you know, when a firefighter dies or even a police officer, that they are never left alone till the second they are placed in the ground or whatever the ending is. And that's one of the things we do to honor people. But I wanted our organization to be aware that our people have honored this community and have honored ourselves by doing what we do. And it's always repaid in tenfold. Sooner or later, we'll have an incident. Unfortunately, hopefully not. But if it happens, we know that we have these people out here to support us because we support them. And I wanted the board to be aware of it, that we will be sending an engine. It'll be engine 9. Now, just know that it's not a frontline engine right now because it has a pump module issue, but it's completely safe and drivable. We're going to clean it up really well on Friday, and it's going to attend the memorial at 1 o'clock, and it's going to be at the St. Paul Rodeo Grounds. We're sending a contingent of 3 to 5 people. I've reached out to a career in volunteers, and we're going to send over representatives, including myself, to represent the fire service and the organization as a whole. I want to thank you for that support and allowing us to do this, because it goes without saying how close we all are and how close we are to potentials like this. And this is the reason why we do this. Whether you're a career volunteer, this is why we do this. We honor each other and we honor the organizations and we honor our citizens by giving our all. And this young man at 30 years of age doesn't have another day with his family. So the memorial is what it is. We're going to recognize and support this family and this community as they move forward. And I hope everyone understands that it's trying times, and we're all going to go through difficult situations and change in our personal lives. But this is just one of those things that, you know, I can't put into words how much it means to the community and to the fire service as a whole. And I'll make sure everyone's aware of it. Does anyone have any questions?
So I want to say thanks to our chiefs for immediately getting on this and going down there and helping them out. You're helping my friend and his family out and all the citizens down there. And I want to thank the crews that went down too. It's much appreciated.
I'd like to echo what Pete says. You know, it's always a sad day when someone from our firefighter family has this happen. So thank you to all that are taking this to heart and honoring honoring Austin. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you as well.
I want to reiterate also, I did receive a thank you kind of through the grapevine from a very good friend of mine who has been a very close friend of Austin's mother's for 20 years. And they sent their thanks for everything that we were doing to help them also.
Okay. All right. Correspondence. Do we have any correspondence to put forward?
Yeah, one of them is a blessing that I love seeing these positive things. As Tammy was saying, that yes, we don't go out for fanfare. We don't go out and ask to be recognized and something like this. But Our deputy chief was interviewed for a TV, and he represented our organization really well, even though they messed up his name. They called him Jerry instead of Larry. I think we can't do it officially because it's the waste of public time, but offline, I think we're going to have a vote on whether or not he owes ice cream and stuff. I just wanted the board to be aware of that, that I'm leaning toward he owes ice cream, no matter what name they use. And not to make light of the situation, but that's how we deal with this, okay? I don't want anyone to be offended by that. But the truth of the matter is that he did give a really good interview. He did represent our organization. So did our people. And that's one of the blessings that I'm surrounded by these great, great people that, you know, that do the right thing and represent our organization. We're going nowhere but up. And I know you guys know this, but it helps me when I say it. We have heard I personally received firsthand thank yous from members of the public for everything that we're doing. I will look each and every one of you in the eyes and tell you that we're going to do more. We're going to do better. This, as Chief Woodward said earlier, we are going to educate our public. That's why I met with the city manager and we had a lengthy conversation about the reasons why potentially that the last attempt at a merger and some other things failed. And it's strictly because public confidence and education, we're not going to fail. We're very aware that there's a short time span, but we are going to make moves to make this thing work. And I want to thank the board and all the staff publicly for helping us move forward and receiving these accolades. That's not why we do the job, but it really feels good. And we appreciate that.
Okay. Thanks, Les. Fire Chief's report. You have anything else for us tonight, Les?
No, we just have a whole lot of working parts that you're all aware of, but please do me a favor. We're getting rumors and it's unfounded. Some of it is about people taking over territories and that stuff. And obviously I would like to caution everyone about believing any of this. Obviously it's not legal and it's not ethical, but the main thing is that we are going to continue to work on positive, personal relationships with the community. You're going to see us involved. I've been assured that our tent will be moved to the front of the line for the celebration Sheridan Days instead of behind the superintendent's office this year, so we can get out and meet the public better. That's coming up in the near future. Also, I wanted the board to be aware, we'll meet again prior to it, but Chief Wolders and I are going to be attending a leadership conference next month. Also, I have two out of three of our AICs attending a conference in Salem over leadership. You're going to notice that our education is going to increase at all levels. And I wanted the board to be aware of that. It's obviously within budget, but I will keep you apprised of everything that we're doing and we're doing for what reason we're doing it. I think it's paramount for this transparency for the board to be able to answer these questions. And one of the things I will tell you is we are going to educate ourselves and we're going to educate the community as much as possible. And we appreciate the support.
Thank you, Les.
Thank you.
Audience participation. Please identify yourself. Limit your comments to time to 3 minutes or less. Is there anybody that would like to speak at this time?
I don't see anyone extra on here other than firefighter EMT Cummins.
Okay.
Daniel, do you have anything you need to say?
Got nothing, Chief.
Thank you, sir.
All right. So agenda items for next month.
Harry.
Go ahead, Tammy.
Before we go to this, I would like to just bring something up for the good of the order and transparency. Okay. And actually put it on public record. I know that I've spoke to a couple of you about this, but I just wanted to follow up so everybody knows where we went with this. On January 24th, I received an email on my personal email from Kenna West, the city planner for West Valley, and she is now taking care of all the financial stuff for West Valley Fire District. And just for the record, she emailed me and requested that she would like to have a conference with me, and she would very much like to talk with me about a few things that have come up regarding West Valley Fire and Sheridan Fire District. And I responded to her in saying I really wanted clarification about that. I didn't know what she was looking for, and that would help me know better where to go. And I got this lengthy email that I won't read to you. I have said on it, I discussed this with the chief. I discussed this with the other day with Eileen. I brought it up to her. And so just so you all know, I'm going to read a very short email. And this was the final response that I sent to her the other day. And it just stated that I'm sorry that it had taken me so long to respond to her, but at this time I am having to focus on continuing moving Sheridan forward in a positive manner, and that I honestly did not see how my opinion or perception would be much help for her at this time. She was asking for documents. I told her I think that Rick or Roy should have access to all the copies of documents from the 190 since they were involved in the beginning, or she could reach out to Fred Hurdle since he was involved in drafting most of those. I also directed her if she had any further questions that maybe she should speak with Les. The final statement was that I told her if she would like to discuss perceptions of the process, that it would be best placed on the agenda of a Sheridan Fire Board meeting and address those questions to the board in a public setting for the sake of transparency. So I wished her best of luck, and that was my response.
Okay.
So I just want everybody to know we're not, you know, I'm not going to be meeting behind scenes with anybody. And that was the response I gave her, and I had not gotten any further correspondence from her.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Tammy. Appreciate that a lot. And we'll see if she gets back to us. All right. Agenda items. I think obvious.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
We want to, you know, stay with the seismic and levy updates. And I think, you know, all the things are old business right now, the staffing. Any updates on grants that we have?
Update on forensic audit, where we're at with that, and update on the admin position and Susan's contract would be good for just to let everybody know.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, if you think of anything that you want to add, just, let Les know. We'll get that added to the agenda. So I just wrote down something here. So I would like to add between audience participation and agenda items, just an item that says board concerns. So that way the board members have something they want to share, as Tammy just did, that gives them an opportunity to do that. Anything else?
We'll be meeting soon. They're dropping the mask mandate, maybe in March. We'll see.
All right. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Okay.
I'll second it.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We are adjourned.